Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Acts chapter 2. Years ago, when I was a Bible college student, I used to love corn. Then I went off to Bible college, and it seemed like they had corn at every single meal. And so I didn't like corn anymore, and so I stopped eating corn. And to this day, I don't really care for corn. I might eat it in something, but I don't like corn. I had too much of it. Well, a while back, we were traveling, and this was last furlough, I guess, and we were going to a church, and one of my daughters, who shall remain nameless, said, so who's preaching tonight? Are you preaching at church? And I said, yeah. And she said, oh. And I said, well, what is that supposed to mean? You don't like to hear me preach? She said, oh, no. It's kind of like corn, though, when you're in Bible college. I said, what do you mean? She said, it's probably too much of a good thing. So you could pray for my daughters, too, as they have to listen to their daddy preach every week when we're out on the road and everything. And I hope that you'll still like corn after tonight's message. Acts chapter 2. Now, what I want us to look at here in just a few minutes is we're going to look at the example of the early church. And, you know, I think that Fellowship Baptist Church is a missions-minded church. It's great to see a church that has a map, and I see all the missionaries you support, and I was out there glancing at that, and you supported some missionaries for years and years and years. When you can measure the missionaries you've supported in decades, that's a wonderful relationship that you have with your missionaries. And so you are a missions-minded church in that way. And then a church that has a Bible Institute and a seminary and a radio ministry and other things that I probably don't even know about that's out there to reach their community, that is a missions-minded church. And the pastor wears a tie with flags from all over the world. Now, that is a missions-minded pastor. But I want us to think about, if I was to ask you tonight, is Fellowship Baptist Church a missions-minded church? Would you pass the test? Would you be able to say you're a missions-minded church? Now, sometimes when I go to a church, I like to go to church and hear a good message, and it's actually convicting to me sometimes. So maybe you're here tonight and you're thinking, good, I don't have to be convicted, though, because he's going to preach about the church. We're going to see if the church is missions-minded. But I also want you to think quickly with me tonight. Maybe your church is missions-minded, but are you missions-minded? Are we missions-minded people? You know, I know a lot of people that say they're missions-minded. When I was in Bible college, I worked at a place called Mailbox Etc. It's kind of like the UPS store now. And I was in there working one day, and a lady came in, and she said, oh, you must be a college student. I said, yes, ma'am, I am. I'm in Bible college. And she said, wow, that is wonderful. Well, God bless you. She said, what do you plan to do? I said, well, I want to be a missionary. Oh, wonderful. She said, I'm from a missions-minded church. We love our missionaries. And she was asking me about it. And then she said the oddest thing. She said, is there much money in that? And I thought that was the oddest question for somebody that said they were from a missions-minded church to ask me. Is, oh, yeah, I'm in missions to make lots of money. I thought that was the oddest question. So I had to question whether she really understood what missions was all about. Now, I've been blessed. We haven't lacked for anything. God's been so good to us, but we certainly didn't go into it for the money. Then I had a time when we were visiting one of our supporting churches, and I knew this church, and I'll just say it. It was the church I grew up in as a child. And this church used to have a thriving youth ministry, had a thriving children's ministry, and they used to have over 200 or 300 kids at its peak coming on Wednesday nights for Bible clubs. And they were coming in from the inner city. They were coming in from different communities, and it was just a wonderful, vibrant ministry. And at that time, they were supporting tons of missionaries. Things were going great. Well, the church has declined over the years. Today, the church has about 30 people. Now, I love elderly people, and elderly people have a lot of wisdom, but this church of 30, the average age of the person literally is probably in their 80s. So you can say that, sadly, the church has no young people, and the church probably doesn't have a lot of future because they're just not reaching their community anymore. When we were there, a lady said to me, yes, we don't have the children's ministries here anymore on Wednesday nights, and she said, you know what, I think it's probably better. All those kids really tore up the facilities. Now, I got to tell you, is that a missions-minded church? Man, that church used to be so missions-minded. They had wonderful missions conferences that lasted a week. It was just wonderful to see what they gave to Faith Promise Missions. I will say I'm blessed they still support our family today, but it's just not the missions-minded church that it is anymore. Pastor and I were talking beforehand how there's so many more missionaries leaving the fields now than are going to the fields. Bible colleges are closing. The number of people studying for the pastor or missions work is going down. Why is that? It's because we live in a world and a culture with people that no longer have a vision for the gospel. that have forgotten the Great Commission of Jesus Christ. We think that's the pastor's job, or that's the deacon's job, or that's the missionary's job, and that's not for me. And we forget that God Christ, when he left, before he ascended, he left that task for all of us to do. So tonight I want us to look at Acts chapter 2. We're going to start reading at verse 41, and I want us just to simply see four things that can tell us if we are a missions-minded church and if we're missions-minded people. Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, it says, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles." Verse 44, "And all that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Now, I want us to see the first thing that we should see in a missions-minded church, and that is proper preaching. Proper preaching. Look at verse 41. It says, "Then they gladly received his word." What were they receiving? They were receiving the message of the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They were going to understand the gospel of Christ and the life-changing good news. They gladly received. And then what happens? When people hear the gospel, when people are saved, one of the natural things that's going to happen is they're going to be baptized. Now, we're not saved by our baptism, but it's going to be an evidence that we understood the gospel message, that we're obedient to God. And so we see here they received his word. They were baptized, and look, they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Wow, can you imagine going to a church and on one weekend 3,000 people got saved? We say, boy, back in the good old days, we used to see that. Has God changed? God's still in the soul-saving business, but you know what's changed? Our churches have changed. We've changed. We're not interested in seeing people saved anymore. I remember as a little boy going to a tent revival, and I could still remember the sawdust thrown down in the, sawdust thrown down in the floor. And that revival ended up lasting 2 weeks up in Salem, Virginia, and a church that still exists today was started because of that revival. Do you know what? God could still do that today, but we sort of don't take our part in responsibility of that. And what we're going to see in a church that's missions-minded, it's going to be a church that has proper preaching. Now, I have no doubt that Pastor Ennis here preaches God's word. I know he does. I know that he's faithful to that. I know that you have Sunday school teachers here. Y'all have remained faithful to the teaching and the preaching of the doctrines of God's word. And I challenge you, continue that. You say, well, obviously, wouldn't we do that? You know what? There's a lot of churches, sadly, some of them even called Baptist churches, that no longer preach the word. You know what? There's some people on TV that are very, very interesting speakers. Boy, they get 1,000, 10,000, 30,000 people to come hear them preaching. Wow, they're dynamic and exciting to listen to. And then at the end, they tag on maybe one verse, and they're really not preaching the gospel. And you know what? They can fill up a stadium, but they're not changing lives. They're not bringing glory to God. So you make sure that your pastor always preaches God's word. In the future, when the Lord leads another pastor to this church, you make sure that he preaches God's word. A church that's missions-minded is going to have proper preaching. Now I want you to think, good, I don't have to worry about that. He's talking about the church. What about you? If you're a Christian, you ought to be. The way that we preach God's word, the way we take it in, is through our daily devotions. Are we reading the Bible every day? Are we studying the Bible every day? Are we seeing it for what it is? Are we sharing that good news with other people? If we're not, then we might have proper preaching in our church, but we're not proper preaching through our lifestyle, through the way we live. Make sure, if you're missions-minded, if you want to be missions-minded, that you have time for God's word every day. I love books. And we're getting ready to move to Florida. I have books in Peru, and I have books in North Carolina, and I have books in my parents' house up in Virginia. And it's so funny, my mom keeps saying to me, "John, you ready for us to bring those books down?" I think she wants to clean out her garage, you know. But, you know, I love books, but there's no book like God's word. There's no book that's going to transform lives. There's no book that you can preach from that's going to glorify God. It's going to change a whole culture, a whole people. And so make sure that you have proper preaching in your church and in your lives. Now look at verse 42, and we're going to see the next thing. It says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers." A church that's missions-minded and people that are missions-minded are going to have proper praying. Not only proper preaching, but proper praying. And it's kind of interesting to me here to see how that they use that as an important part of their ministry. You know, sadly, most people don't believe in the power of prayer today. If you read statistics, a lot of Christians say they average about 1 minute a day of prayer. Wow. How sad. I was just asking y'all to like our page on Facebook. You know, sadly, all of us have time to get on, or a lot of us have time to get on social media. We have time to watch television. We have time for our favorite sports. And those things aren't necessarily bad, but you know what? How sad that we don't have time for God's word, and how sad we don't have time to communicate to God through prayer. You know what? We're connected today in the world. I was asking about the video. I forgot to bring it on a flash drive for them, and I said, do y'all have Wi-Fi in here? And they said, no. You know, you go around, we have Wi-Fi all over the place. Why don't we stay connected? And my daughter, Elizabeth, I'm going to embarrass her. She's a typical teenager, and she said to me, Daddy, I'm the only kid, I think, that doesn't have a phone where I can get on the internet. And I said, well, why would you need to get on the internet? And she said, well, what if I want to talk to one of my friends while we're in the car? So we want to stay connected all the time. And that's pretty typical for people in today's world. You see them, they do it while they're driving as they swerve all over the road. And you know what? We want to stay connected, which, by the way, Elizabeth, I told her, she's starting to drive now. Oh, boy, I'm going to have total gray hair next time I come back. But Elizabeth, I said, she has to put her phone, if she ever has one, in the trunk. Because I said, you are not going to drive down the road weaving, texting your friends or Skyping with them as you drive. But get this, we stay connected to everybody. We know what our neighbor had for supper. We know how somebody's head hurts. But yet we don't take the time to pray and to communicate with the Creator God of the universe. And so if we're going to be on fire for God, if we're going to be missions-minded people, we're going to have proper praying in our life. Scripture tells us pray without ceasing. That means we should have an attitude of prayer at all times. If we have a decision to make, we bathe it in prayer. If we're going through a difficulty, we bathe it in prayer. And we pray all the time. Now, look at the third thing in verse 44 and 45. And all that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. The third thing I want us to see is that a missions-minded church and missions-minded people have proper priorities. Proper priorities. Do you have priorities straight in your life? What about your church? Now, I can say Fellowship Baptist Church has your priorities, right? Because you give faithfully to missions. Do you know how easy it would be for your pastor or the deacons or the church leaders to say, you know what, we're going to cut our missions budget in half, and we're going to do this. We're going to, you know, build a nice garden off beside the church. Or we're going to build this new building. It's going to be for this or that. There's nothing wrong with that, but you've made missions a priority. And God blesses churches where they do that. Do you know what I can sadly tell you? I've seen too many churches where as they cut their missions budget, it's just like they cut their, but the rest of their budget just falls with it every time. And every time they cut their budget, the church shrinks smaller and smaller. And I could tell you that sounds self-serving for a missionary, but I'm not using that as a sales pitch. I'm using that to tell you that God honors churches that have their priorities straight and they give to missions, and God honors families that do as well. But look here, it says a couple things interesting. They had all things common. If we're going to be a missions-minded church, a missions-minded people, we better be in agreement, and we better get along. When I go to a church, like when I come in here, I always see the best of the church. And I don't know about the little disputes or somebody arguing with somebody or this kind of problem with this person. I hope there's none of that here, but I have to say, if it's like a typical church, we have a sin nature, and there's going to be little problems there. If we want to be God-honoring, missions-minded people, we ought to have the same common mindset, and that's to serve God and to reach the world with the gospel. We can do that, and how rare it is to see churches that get along today. Up where I grew up in Virginia, all the churches there that are started are splits off of other churches, and God can use that. I don't know how he does, but he does, and I see some great churches that came from a church split, but I always love when one church splits and they go and they start a new one. The new church is always called Unity Baptist Church or New Grace Baptist Church or what have you. Well, what does the world think about us when none of us can even get along? The church that my wife grew up in, where my mother-in-law still goes to church, years ago they were remodeling their auditorium, and they were trying to decide whether they wanted padded pews or wood pews. And that, boy, they almost split the church. The people were furious. The ones that said, this is traditional, you sit in a wood pew because you didn't come to the church to be comfortable. And the other said, well, if I can't pay attention because my back hurts so bad, I can't pay attention at church. What's wrong with it? And so they were arguing back and forth, and you know what they did? They padded every other pew in the church. You used to could go stand in the balcony and look over, and it was padded wood, padded wood, padded wood. The sad part is, that people started coming early to get the padded seats. And I wanted to say, if you voted for the wood seats, you have to sit in the wood seats. But they wouldn't always do that. No churches that almost split over the color of carpet. There's a church in Winston-Salem that for years had two different colored carpets, one color up the aisles, another car on the platform and under the pews because they couldn't agree on the color. What does the world think of that? Amen, we serve a risen Savior, and I want wooden pews. What do they think of that? They think we're crazy. Who would want to have anything to do with that? But when we're unified, they can say, wow, I want to be a part of that. When they see that we're just all a bunch of sinners saved by grace that come together, God can use that. So a church is better have proper priorities. Make sure you have proper priorities in your life. And the last thing is verse 46, and it says, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. You know what? We can see if we look in Scripture that the early church had proper planning. Proper planning. You see, if you want to grow, you have to plan to. And you know how we do it? I'll give you the secret to church growth. Your pastor already knows it. You follow the Great Commission. You go and you preach the gospel to every creature. You know what? Christ left a mandate for us. God doesn't change. So has what he asked us to do changed? No. He's still in the soul-saving business. It's just that we stopped doing our part. And so we need to be out there. We need to be out there witnessing. We need to be out there handing out tracts. We need to be out there inviting people to church. We need to be out there living as an example in the world. God didn't change. The gospel didn't change. It's us that changed. And so if you want your church to grow, be missions-minded people. The early church did that. And look how it finishes there, verse 47. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Man, how sad that many churches today, the baptistries are dusty. They can't tell you the last time somebody was saved. And you know what? The world is definitely changing. Boy, culture, it's hard. You know, God can do it, but I know it's going to be hard for us to see a huge revival of souls saved here in America. Now, the world has changed too much, but we have to do our part. And God, the world has never seen what can be done if we all got on fire for things of the Lord. So tonight we saw four things that make a missions-minded church and make missions-minded people: proper preaching, proper praying, proper priorities, and proper planning. What about you? Are you missions-minded? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time we had to be here tonight. We thank you for your many blessings, Lord. Thank you for Fellowship Baptist Church and for the many years they have here in this community serving you. Father, I ask that you'll just help use this message, help to convict each of us, to look at our own lives, to see how we can be changed. Lord, are we really reading our Bible every day? Are we really spending time praying, spending time with you? Do we have our priorities straight for things of the Lord? Are we planning on how we can be successful for you? Lord, you will bless us if we do these things. Just help us to see that. Father, be with this church. Be with these people. Help them to continue to grow as they serve you together. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.